Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with the tax collectors and the sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not for the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners."
Well, what are the headwinds that we face today in bringing the message of Jesus to others? What are the internal or the external factors that work as a bit of a handbrake? Over recent years, national survey results have revealed a shift in people's thinking about God. And from the National Church Life Survey that was conducted in 2021, four statements were put to people about God. As you can see on the slide behind me, if you take that all in, 55% of Australians responded with some sort of belief that there is God or some sort of greater power, whatever God or that power might be. What about people's responses to if they were invited to church? And as you might be able to take in there on the slide, the results show that if a close family member invited someone to church, about 3 out of the 10 invited would likely say yes. What about factors that increase the likelihood for someone to say yes to an invitation? And again, as you can see, there are numbers of factors there, but a big one that's really important is the fact that the person doing the invitation is really, it's really, really matters to them, you know, that they say, yes, this is important, you know. Also, welcoming people there is a big one, and the fact that good works are done by the church in the community. All right, what about Jesus? And apparently, almost 49% of Australians believe Jesus was a real person who lived. And his resurrection? And about 4 out of 10 people believe in the resurrection of Jesus in some way. Now, that might, some of those figures might surprise you that, in fact, there is actually a more of an openness or a willingness or perhaps an understanding of Jesus and God and the church in our society. And although there's been a shift away from God and from the church, there does still remain some openness among our fellow Australians. Now, of course, we don't live in a time of religious authorities sort of telling us all how we're supposed to live and what the expectations are, what we can and shouldn't do. We live in a secular culture. There's a whole range of lifestyles and expectations now. We're in no doubt aware that there's been a shift to recognise different lifestyles as being just as valid. You know, things could be better if we did that. And the question is whether the church should recognise and just accept these. That's one of the big challenges, I think, for reaching people who think God exists but don't know him, who consider God to perhaps just be an option and church not for them. In Jesus' day, one of the things people knew about themselves was that they were sinners. They knew that they didn't measure up to the requirements of the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. They had God's law, but unlike the Pharisees, they weren't committed to that in-depth study of it. And that made them sinners. Unclean. In fact, the word Pharisee means separated one. They distanced themselves from everything and everyone they considered to be unclean, because by doing so, they believed salvation might come to them. Now, that's not where we need to go. That's not our goal. We're not in the business of separating ourselves from our culture. We're not to be a holy club, a clique, where we can't welcome in people who perhaps are unlike us. Or even for some strange reason, some of us might think we're better than someone else in the church, and we're going to have hardly anything to do with them. Seeing people's lifestyle who we don't agree with is one thing, but to have nothing to do with them is quite another thing. Rather than withdraw and go quiet, how do we call people to follow Jesus? And in these few verses from Mark's Gospel, we see the Lord Jesus calling people into his kingdom. Jesus is calling sinners and the despised to follow him. And what we see in this is Jesus' method, Jesus' manner, and Jesus' message. Have a look with me at first his method. And we see in the passage that he went out beside the lake. You remember, he's in Capernaum. The whole town knows he's there. How soon Jesus is out there after he's raised that paralyzed man and forgiven his sins, it's difficult to know, really. It may have been the next day, but in any case, there's a large crowd following him. So many had gathered at the house we saw last week, and how many now are out there with Jesus at the water's edge? The crowd's so full, and so many so-called sinners are no doubt out there, those people categorised that way by the authorities. And we see in the passage that Jesus began to teach them. That was the method. He teaches them. They needed to know about the kingdom of God. They needed to hear his call on their lives to enter into the kingdom of God. Nothing is more important. Whoever you are in that large crowd that day, whatever the lifestyle, whatever the sin, Jesus is calling people to enter the kingdom. And he's teaching them the word of God. Can I remind you that we still depend on God's word to call people to trust in Jesus? The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And the challenge we face is speaking that word. The parable of the sower, you know, farmer went out and sowed the seed, and words falling on different kinds of soil there, and there are different responses to that word. I mean, that's a given. That's already determined. The Lord knows the responses. Only will there be a speaking of God's word? Some of us have been members of this church for a long time. and we haven't spoken a word about Jesus to anyone. Some of us want to, but we don't know how. Some of us will have a go. But for other of us, it just doesn't concern us. When I go out along the beach this afternoon, I'm not expecting that there's going to be a large crowd following me. And I'll, you know, just sort of get out there and I'll just start speaking the word. But what I do know is that God places me, as he does you, where there might be an opportunity to give good news about the God you've come to know through Jesus. In a respectful, kind, and gentle way. How could you, like Jesus, on seeing someone, knowing who they are, begin to teach them good news about God? Our surveys reveal people's ignorance about God. Let we who know begin to speak his word like Jesus. It isn't just the large crowds here that have Jesus' focus. We see, don't we, in verse 14, that he said, this is what it says, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me. And Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Being a tax collector, Levi's ripping people off. He's sitting in the toll booth, collected a custom. Levi was probably a notorious thief. As he collected for the Romans, he pocketed a tidy sum for himself. Being a tax collector put him in the category of a traitor against his own people. And just as it was so scandalous of Jesus to touch the leper, Jesus is doing the unthinkable here by selecting a tax collector to follow him. He sees Levi at the booth and he summons him, commands him, the Lord, follow me. And immediately he just gets up. And then most likely this is not the first time that Levi's heard or seen Jesus, but it just illustrates what God is like. Levi is seen and is led away by Jesus into new life. He's now going with Jesus. He's listening to Jesus. It's a new focus on Jesus. New direction for your life. And what was Levi doing that could ever merit such favor from the Lord, such kindness from the Lord? And the answer is nothing. Full of money with a bankrupt soul. Now, Jesus' method is calling the undeserving by his grace to follow him. Leave the greed behind. Stop living for yourself and start following Jesus in the life he has for them. Who teaches his followers for the rest of their lives. That's his call today, isn't it? Follow me and leave the old behind. Follow me, he says, and learn from me. Learn throughout your life what living for the kingdom of God is looking like. Levi would learn. It's commonly thought that Levi is the man who became known as the Apostle Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Perhaps Levi is like a certain businessman in our day who is in it for the money, even if he might be ripping off people, sitting there day after day, just really unconcerned about the activity, and only to find that one day a gracious, most powerful word comes. Someone speaks that word. They encounter the Lord Jesus in that word. And wonderfully, by God's kindness, they get up from that sinful life, leave it, and follow Jesus. No one is so bad for Jesus to call. So that's his method. Let's follow his method. He began to teach. He calls people to follow in mercy to the most undeserving. Next we see his manner. Have a look at verse 15 with me. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, and there were many who followed him. It's really a gratefulness scene, isn't it, where Levi puts on a dinner party at some event there, a feast, a celebration, and Jesus is there. He's one of the guests. His disciples are there. The sinners and the tax collectors are there with them, and they're all there, really, and there are many who followed him. Jesus is having a meal there and showing his acceptance of them, eating with them. And the teachers of the law are there, and they're called Pharisees, and they can't stomach what's going on. In verse 16, they ask the disciples, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? And they can't sort of reconcile that a Jewish rabbi is breaking God's law, eating a meal that's meant to be a sacred occasion of fellowship where they would thank the Lord for all that is given, that his name would be used there. And so the Jews could not ever eat with those whose lifestyle they thought blasphemed the name of the Lord Yahweh. What a scandal that Jesus, a religious teacher, would eat with people like that. And it put him outside the pure company of the Pharisees. So they frowned on Jesus' manner. They grumbled. For if Jesus claimed to be from God, how could he have the nerve to eat with such people? So by eating with these people, he's showing that he is a friend of sinners. He showed that the kingdom of God was mercifully within the reach of any sinner. And thirdly, we find in this passage Jesus' message. Verse 17, where he says, on hearing this, that is, on hearing their belly ache, the Pharisees, the gripes at Jesus, on hearing this, Jesus said to them. Now, the question is, who is the them at that point? Is he speaking straight at the Pharisees, or is he got the disciples there and the rest for everyone? This is the answer in any case to the question that it's not the healthy who need a doctor but the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous but sinners. There was a fellow at Macca's the other day on Friday morning, and he was telling me about the day surgery that he was facing that day. I'm going under the knife, he told me, today. He told me that he had cancer, and he was going to get it all cut out. It was melanoma, he told me. it was located right between his two eyebrows. He told me that his father had died from melanoma. He told me that his grandfather had died from melanoma. So there's family history. He told me that every 6 months he goes and gets his body scanned to see if the 20 or so skin ailments have changed in some way. And he lowered his head and he showed me the top of his bald head where the doctor had cut out a chunk some time ago from his scalp to deal with a melanoma. Yes, you see, it's the sick who need the doctor. You know that, don't you? You know when the child at home is unwell and you've tried all your best to care and you go to the emergency. The symptoms show there's a problem. But you know, there are times people are sick and they don't know it. There's many like that. Not knowing their great need is the forgiveness of their sin. Jesus calls individuals whose lives show that they are far from God as he walks along the toll road. He calls to the crowd as he stands by the lake. He calls to the outcast as he reclines at the table eating with them. And he sees undeserving wretches like us. And he calls, "Follow me. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." As we close, if you don't think you're sick, you won't go to the doctor. The wonder of this doctor is that he has come to us. And in mercy, Dr. Jesus, the spiritual physician, makes house calls. Good doctors tell us how it is. They tell us our need for surgery, and they give us the all clear. And that's what Jesus tells us. What a dreadful sadness it is to hear Jesus' message and to think that you're just okay. There's not a problem. And reject his words. And never receive an all clear. Jesus, who takes away sin and brings people into his kingdom. I wonder whether you saw an irony in Jesus' message there when he says it isn't the righteous that he's calling. When there is no one righteous in the sight of God. If we don't think we're sinners, we won't go to Jesus. And we won't ask for forgiveness, and we won't receive mercy. Some may be thinking, has Jesus called me? Am I forgiven? What does God say? If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just, and will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Some might be thinking, I'm not sure whether I am following Jesus. That it is a little bit like two forward and three back. Jesus says, I have come to call sinners. He made the way for sinners to come to God. So today, turn to the Lord your Saviour. By faith, listen to him. Get up. Leave the old sinful life behind and spend time with him. You talk to him. And talk about him. It is shocking mercy that Jesus shows us to undeserving, calling sinners to repentance. I'm sure you would know the name John Newton, who was born in London in 1725. His believing mother taught Newton to pray as a child. She died when he was only seven. He had only 2 years at school, and at the age of 11, his father, a sea captain, took him to sea for the first time. Newton himself became the captain of a slave trade ship. But it was on the 10th of March of 1748, during one of those voyages, that the ship encountered an enormous storm and threatened to engulf it. As the hold of the ship was rapidly filling with water, Newton hurried to the place of the pumps and said to someone on board, "If this will not work, the Lord have mercy upon us." Mercy. He just thought about that and said it again. Mercy. Mercy. What mercy can there be for me? "This was the first desire I had breathed out," says Newton, "for mercy after so many years." John Newton sought mercy, and he found it in Christ. And as you know, he wrote that hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Here's his profession of faith, and his hope is recorded this way. He says, "I am not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be in another world, but still I am not what I once used to be." He goes on, "God has mercifully brought me up out of the deep miry clay and set my feet on a rock, Christ Jesus. He has saved my soul," says Newton. "And now it is the heart's desire to extol and honour his matchless, free, sovereign and distinguishing grace, because by the grace of God, I am what I am." Brothers and sisters, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And Jesus is calling sinners to repentance. Let us pray. Indeed, Father, may our trust be in your dear Son given for the world. Lord, each one of us comes recognizing our sin, our failure to live, to honour you as we should and love you as we ought. We confess our sin. We confess our failures. We trust in the Lord Jesus. We follow him. We listen to him. We turn to him. Lord, teach us to encourage each other as we do this. And as we look upon those in our world around us in the community that we live, Lord, give us words to speak of Jesus, the words of God, and move us in that way, that you would have mercy upon them too. And this we pray in your great and glorious name. Amen.